I have inclined my heart to be righteous, and I wait for the word of the Lord. It is a lamp to my feet in this journey, and in my mouth is the two-edged sword. I cling to my Father's commandments. I always sing them wherever I go. They're more lasting than earthly possessions and more precious.
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Brother Bob and Sister Judith Jones. We are filling in for Pastor and Sister Kyle tonight as they are out of town. And, well, let's go ahead and get this show started, shall we? We'll go ahead and open it up in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you with humble hearts, and we just thank and honor and worship and praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to deliver this message that you have given us this evening. We thank you, Father, that you know the message we have would touch those that would listen to the show, both live and later from download. We thank you, Father, for all the opportunities you give each and every one of us every day. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, your love. And we just pray, Lord, that the words that we would speak tonight would be a blessing to those that would listen. We dedicate this time to you, Father, for the glory of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, well, with that, fellow Blog Talk people, just want to say that, as I said at the beginning, Pastor Kyle had called Judith and I earlier this week. He had an engagement out of town, so he called us up and asked if we would mind doing his show this evening, to which we said, well, sure, we'll do it. We'll pray and ask the Lord what message he has for us, and you know, we'll go ahead and get it out to your people, to God's people. And that's what we just did. We prayed, and the Lord gave Judith and I both the same word, to be honest with you, and that's rather amazing that as soon as the words come out of our mouth asking for discernment and guidance as to what the Lord would have us talk, that we would both get the same word. And I think what I'm going to do, if it's all right with everybody, is I'm going to go ahead and have Judith start off. So without further ado, I'm going to get Judith on the line.
Thank you, Robert, and thank you, everyone, for joining us this evening. I'm just going to go ahead and just get right to it. The Lord spoke to me, and he said, warn them, warn them, warn them. I've done broadcast radio out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area on a program called Life and Liberty with the hostess, the late Vicki Middleton. Plus, I'm also a published author. Speaking of authors, please don't forget to check out Pastor Kyle's website, theoasisplace.org, for his new book, Do You Have Demon Troubles? The Spiritual Warrior's Guide to Winning. And also, Sister Kyle's book is there, Running High with God. When Pastor Kyle asked Robert and me, as Robert mentioned previously, to stand in for him this evening, we did go immediately to prayer and ask the Lord what he wanted us to share. And as I said a moment ago, I heard him say, warn them, warn them, warn them. We are living in a time of great trouble, and basically all the worst parts of the Old Testament are slated to happen here in the United States to those who refuse to repent and serve the Lord. There is no time left, so now, tonight, is the time you have left to repent. All things the Bible calls holy and righteous are now considered too strict or too inconvenient, old-fashioned, or to some even crazy, such as marriage between one man and one woman. Up until the 1970s in America, it was considered a matter for a psychiatrist if a person claimed to be homosexual or lesbian. Murdering your unborn child was considered just that, murder, and forbidden even by the very laws of our land. Most everyone went to church and were insulted if anyone tried to infer they were not a Christian, right up until about 1965. And many even after that time. People did not live together as husband and wife unless they were married. As the Bible says, fornication is sin. Acts 15:29. In the Authorized King James Version of the Bible, it says that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if ye keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Fare ye well. Monday morning after praying and preparing tonight's message, I came across an interesting news article, which I believe is a confirmation of God's holy word. The article took place in what many consider to be the sin capital of the United States, the San Francisco Bay Area, where they flaunt their homosexual sin before God, as Sodom and Gomorrah did, tempting God to try to stop them. The Lord says in the scripture that first he will stretch out his hand upon the land that sins against him, and he will break the staff of the bread, causing famine, then bring death in cutting man and beast off the land. And if he causes noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, making it desolate, that no man may pass through it because of the beasts, and even if Noah, Daniel, and Job were in the land, they would only deliver their own souls by their righteousness, not even their children. Oh, you have to forgive me one second. I keep very detailed notes before I do a radio program, and sometimes I get caught up in the pages. The scripture I'm referring to here is Ezekiel 14:13-15. It says first famine, then death, then noisome beasts. It's actually Ezekiel 14:13-16, excuse me. I'm going to read this for you. Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Now you may say, right, wild beasts running wild in the streets of America. You may question the validity of my claim, but I find it very interesting that when seeking the Lord Sunday evening, he told us to warn them. And Monday morning, I came across the following article talking about the beasts in the land. Robert's going to go ahead and put the link for the article. It's from San Francisco. He's going to put it in the chat room. But it is from the sanfrancisco.cbslocal.com. That's June 13th, 2014. Mountain View is a suburb outside of San Francisco. The big cat being mentioned is a mountain lion. A mountain lion who spent 9.5 hours under a bush watching people, cars, and bikes pass by, who went from strolling around a junior high school to checking in on several backyards, going unnoticed by anyone for 9.5 hours, noisome beast in the land. And again, Ezekiel 14:14-15 says, so these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts. If you think this cannot happen in America, you need to think again. This article refers to a mountain lion strolling around Mountain View in the early part of May of this year, 2014. Lastly, the Lord says in Ezekiel 14:16, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. We need to teach our children well. As a nation, if we don't repent from the violence of abortion now, right now, if we don't repent from the sins of sodomy, fornication, and adultery, as it says also in Ephesians 5:3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. And also in Leviticus 18:21-25, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. And by the way, passing through the fire to Molech, I consider that no different than abortion. It's murder either way. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. And if you read 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. There was a time not so long ago you could not conduct business if you did not live a respectable, honorable Christian life in America. And respectable meant you got married, then had children, not had children, then got married. People loved themselves and their prospective offspring too much to bring down the wrath of God on their families. But to speak that way now is considered crazy or revolutionary, or even to say, how could a loving God do that? To put your own self, your own considerations on the cross for someone else's betterment is considered crazy today. But because our nation, the nation of America, has chosen the way of rebellion against God, against all things holy, God has made a declaration against the rebellious house of America. And that declaration is this: I'm going to deliver this the only way I know how, and that is directly from the Word of God. I hope this doesn't bore anyone. I hope this audience does not consider this word too hard. This is the word the Lord gave me for tonight. Ezekiel 12, verse 2. Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. Ezekiel 12:11 says, say, I am your sign. Like as I have done, so shall it be done unto them. They shall remove and go into captivity. Ezekiel 12:15, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. Ezekiel 12:19, and say unto the people of the land, thus saith the Lord God of the inhabitants of Jerusalem. You could replace the name Jerusalem with America here. And of the land of Israel, or again, you could call it America, they shall eat their bread with carefulness and drink their water with astonishment, that her land may be desolate from all that is therein, because of the violence of all them that dwell therein. There it goes again, the violence. Abortion is murder of the unborn. This is violence. Raping small children is violence against those children. The blood of the unborn floods the streets and roads of America. I hear them screaming. Ezekiel 12:27, son of man, behold, they of the house of Israel, or in our case, the house of America, say, the vision that he seeth is for many days to come, and he prophesieth of the times that are far off. Ezekiel 12:28, therefore say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, there shall none of my words be prolonged any more, but the word which I have spoken shall be done, saith the Lord God. This is for now. This judgment that we are under now, and I'll go into that in a few minutes. I had a dream about a week ago, and the Lord made it very clear to me. The judgment isn't later. We're not coming into it. We are there now. This is the word of the Lord for this nation, but for individuals who will seek him, obey him, and believe him, he has another word. And that word is this. I will be reading out of Ezekiel 14, Ezekiel 14, 13. Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. You may be saying, well, she already said that. That's right. But if you read through the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Lord repeats things for a reason. And there's a reason I'm going to read this. This is Ezekiel 14, 13 through 18. Verse 14 says, these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it. They should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. They were repentant, living holy lives. And it says, if they live this righteous life, they're going to deliver their own souls. Verse 15 says, if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land and they spoil it so that it be desolate and that no man may pass through because of the beasts. Verse 16, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters. They only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it. God says he will do that. Though these three men were in it, as I live, and these are righteous men, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Ezekiel 14, 19. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter. They shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. In our case, we look for the to be covered with the blood of Jesus Christ and his righteousness. But if you go to the book of James, James says, if you have faith and without works, well, you don't have anything. Your faith has to be demonstrated by your works. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, in this case it's on America, the sword, the famine, and the noisome beast, and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast. And trust me, it's here now. Yet behold, therein shall be left a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all that I have brought upon it. And again, you could say concerning America, even all that the Lord's brought upon America. And they shall comfort you when ye see their ways and their doings. And ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. We need to teach our children well of his righteousness, of obedience to the Lord by our own righteous example. Don't be like the children of Israel, the rebellious children of America. Don't set up your idols in your own hearts. Don't put a stumbling block of iniquity before your face. God may not be inquired of at all by you. Let me say that again. God may not be inquired of at all by you if you live in iniquity and in sin. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. This is Ezekiel 14. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Ezekiel, I'm going to jump over to Ezekiel 16, 36. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms with thy lovers and with all the idols of thy abominations and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them, I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged, and I will give thee blood in fury and jealousy. This is what God's going to do for America. He is going to give us blood in fury and jealousy. And I'll tell you how I know that in a minute. Ezekiel 16:39 says, "And I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place." America's had a pretty eminent place. But God says, "They shall throw down thine eminent place, and shall break down thy high places. They shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels, and leave thee naked and bare. This is the night to say, Lord, forgive me now. Ask him to lay your heart bare before you, to show you the sins that keep you from his presence. Ask him to grant you repentance, so that you will be saved in the judgment bearing down on us tonight." There is still time. But the time is here and now. The time is not tomorrow morning. You don't have tomorrow morning anymore. The time is now. I had a dream about a week ago, and it was a lengthy dream, but I'm only going to share just the portion that I remember well. It was the 4th of July, and they were setting off fireworks. And the fireworks, before, there was a big display of just booms and bombs and explosions, and those went away into an American flag. And as the American flag started to dissipate from the sky, there was writing in Arabic. Now, you might ask yourself, if you don't know anything about me, how I know that. I spent a year in Libya in 1978. I understand Arabic writing. When that all dissipated, and the writing was in Arabic. There was a man there, and he told me what it said. And before I wrote it down, you know, I woke up and I got busy, and I didn't remember what the Arabic writing said, but I did know this. I went to the Lord, and I asked the Lord, "What does this dream mean?" And the Lord told me, "Your nation has already been given over to Islam. It's already done." That means we are already in judgment. That means, you know, I mean, some people say, well, pack up and move to another country or you know, and rightfully so, buy food, buy precious metals, guns and ammo, and whatever you need to protect and defend your family. But none of it's going to amount to anything if you don't have your heart right before the Lord. If you have your heart right before the Lord, all you need to do is say, "Lord, tell me, what would you have me to do this night, this day? Where would you have me to go?" And I would encourage everyone, and I'm not quite finished here, but I would say to you, don't be married to your houses. Don't be married to your lands. If you live in a place that it's been prophesied that it's going to be nuked, and there have been several prophecies of 5 major cities in the United States, and I was not going to cover this tonight, but I would warn you, you seek the Lord very, very fervently and ask him. I did this a couple of years ago. I didn't live where I live now. And I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do? How do I save my life in this time?" And the Lord spoke very, very clear to me and told me what to do. Told me to get, I won't go into all of that right now, but I live now in the place God told me to go to, and it's over 1,000 miles from where I used to live. And I mean, whatever you have to do to get to where God tells you to be, whether it's in the United States or someplace else, don't worry about if you have money or you don't have money. God's big enough. But let me go on and get this finished, because I don't want to take up all of the time. I could read all of Ezekiel 18 to you, but for time's sake, I will encourage each one listening to read all of Ezekiel 18 on your own, and I will leave you with the following. And please, 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 please remember this. Ezekiel 18:21 says, "If the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live. He shall not die." There is hope. The judgment is here, but there is hope for the righteous who will live according to God's righteousness. That means being accepting the blood of Jesus Christ to cover for your sins. That means going to the Lord, telling him tonight, "Father, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. I'm undone. Please, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life. I will turn and not sin anymore. And I also would like to leave you with this last scripture, Ezekiel 18:30-39. Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel. And again, you could put in here, O house of America. Everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions. So iniquity shall not be your ruin. Iniquity is what's your ruin. It's the sin that's your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of America? It says, O house of Israel, but I'm saying this to America. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye. For when ye offer your gifts, when ye make your sons to pass through the fire, ye pollute yourselves with all your idols, even unto this day. And shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, saith the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. As for you, O house of Israel, or, like I said, O house of America, thus saith the Lord God, go ye, serve ye every one his idols, and hereafter also, if ye will not hearken unto me, but pollute ye my holy name no more with your gifts and with your idols. And Robert, I'm going to give it back to you.
Okay, thank you.
Are you still?
Yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and mute myself.
Okay, is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that, folks. I just got a little excited and forgot to take myself off mute. So you can go ahead and laugh at me for being a klutz. And this is the man who's the IT professional. So anyway, as I was alluding to when Judith and I were praying about what message to deliver tonight, we both got the same word. And part of the word I got was really, you could almost call it a vision. It was kind of a snapshot, a double exposure type image in the spirit. What the first image was, well, basically it looked like an elder man, one of the ancients, or in my mind's eye, I would consider him to be a prophet. And he was in the throne room of God, and it was filled with God's golden light that was almost overpowering. And the prophet is on his knees with his face against the ground saying, I'm unworthy, I'm undone, I don't belong here. But at the same time, it overlaid with this image was another image of a smaller throne room with other beings, if you will, within it. And one of those beings, if you will, was a man dressed all in white who had a tablet and pen in his hand saying, it is done. Now, what's interesting is if we go looking for this imagery in the Bible, the first one actually comes from Isaiah chapter 6. And I'll read just the first few verses of that. In Isaiah 6, from 1 through verse 8, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved as the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Now take that imagery and overlay it with Ezekiel chapter 9. I'm just going to read the first six verses here. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, Cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. Then they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, Go ye after him through the city, and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither hath ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. And Ezekiel 9 basically goes on and describes what was going on. And towards the end of Ezekiel 9, the man with the inkhorn by his side, the scribe, comes before the Lord and says, It is done. In other words, he had gone out and he had marked upon the forehead in the spirit those that were God's, those that would be spared from the destruction of his judgment. And really, this is the place we all want to be. We want to be at the place where we are sealed of God against the judgment, against the noisome pestilence and beasts and famine and the sword, where we are spared all of that. And really, let's take it a step further. And that next step is Isaiah 6:8, where the Lord is asking, Who will go for me? Who will speak for me? Who will contend with my people and bring them to repentance? We should all be at the point of Isaiah and say, Here I am, Lord. Send me. Use me. And what I'd like to do is kind of describe how I see each of us could get to that place. Because it's not all about doom and gloom. I mean, yes, this nation of America is under judgment. It's under God's judgment. And like Judith, I believe that we have already entered the judgment. So with that, what I'd like to do is go into the New Testament and see what Jesus has to say about these days. What I'm going to do is I'm going to start with the parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew 13. And starting with verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the weeds and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But But he, referring to the householder, said, "Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them up. But gather the wheat into my barn." And really, this is what we want to be, the place we want to be. When all is said and done, is we want to be among the wheat, the good seed that the Lord has sowed upon the earth. We do not want to be one of the enemy's tares, one of the weeds that are gathered up first, that are cast into the fire. But rather, we want to be in the barn, the silo, the grain storage, if you will, of the Lord. We want to go to heaven and be with Jesus forever and ever. Now, let's, and there's a way we can do that, but I'm going to continue on with another parable. And this also is from Matthew 13, but a little earlier in the chapter. And starting at verse 3, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the same sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. But other fell on good ground, and brought forth," let me back up a verse. "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Well, when I said we wanted to be among the wheat and not the tares, we also want to be among the wheat that was planted in good, fertile ground. We don't want to be wheat that was thrown into the briars, into the thorns, where the cares of the world will come up and choke out the Word of God. We don't want to be wheat that is sown on the rocky ground, the stony ground, and the Word of God does not take root in us. And we certainly, and actually I think everyone listening to this show now and, you know, even in the future from download, I think we're all not the seed that was cast into the byways that the birds came and plucked it away. Didn't even have a chance to sprout up, good, bad, or otherwise. Now, when Jesus explained that parable later in Matthew 13, the birds that took the seed off the byways was the devil and his minions. And the seed is actually the Word of God. Now, on the rocky ground, some people have just so much baggage, so much sin, so much, well, let's face it, demonic oppression, that the Word of God cannot take root. We'll get a little flash of enjoyment out of reading God's Word, but we don't have a fertile enough heart because of our sin for that Word to take effect, to grow in us, to nourish us. And, you know, we really don't want to be in the place where the cares of the world, the thorns, will overcome us and choke out the Word of God either. But see, one thing I can personally vouch for is you can be in the position of both rocky ground and thorny ground. And through the work of the Lord, you can get to the point where your heart is fertile ground and the Word of God will take deep root. Now, how do we get there? Well, the first thing we have to do is realize that we have sin in our life. And for that, we need to go to the Father and repent of those sins. Second of all, to make sure that we are not amongst the seed that is thrown out on the highways and byways and just wasted, we need to seek the Lord for salvation. We need to accept Lord Jesus into our hearts as our personal Lord and Savior, first and foremost. That gets us from the highways and byways, where the Word of God will have no effect, to at least the point where we have rocky ground or thorny ground, which is something that the Lord can work with to break it up, to fertilize it, to make it where His Word will spring forth and take root. So after the salvation, then we repent. And repent and repent and repent and repent in some of our cases. Because I'll be honest with you folks, I'm not perfect. I've got my own share of baggage and stony ground that I carry around. And yes, I repent every time I realize it. And there's been times when I feel like repenting and repenting and repenting is not getting anywhere. And I go to the Lord and ask Him, you know, why am I not making progress here? Sometimes the word I get is, you need to spend more time in my word. Sometimes He'll tell me, you really need to fast for a few days to get your flesh in line with my word. And other times He will tell me, well, the fasting hasn't worked. You really should seek out deliverance. And I have done that. And I just take that process of, you know, going to the Lord, asking Him why I'm not making progress, listening to what He says, and obeying what He says, taking to heart what the Lord tells me, what He puts on my heart, you know, whether it's to fast, whether it's to pray harder, whether, you know, whatever it is, I do. And I do it instantly. And Judith will tell you about that, or can. But by taking the process of repentance, fasting and prayer as directed, and deliverance when needed, and repeating, or as I like to call it, rinse, lather, and repeat, we actually break up the hard, stony ground of our hearts. We tear down the thorns that would choke out the Word of God. And we become that good, fertile ground of the Lord's Word that makes us a better vessel. Now, Judith is asking if she can share something, so I'll turn the mic over to her real quick.
I just wanted to mention that, yes, Robert, it's so true. I mean, he repents rapidly. He had an issue about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, that could have undone other people. And he just, it came to the forefront. He looked at me, and the first thing he did was, oh, my word. And he immediately repented. And he has not had an issue with that since. And, you know, when he says to you, I repent immediately, I'm sugarcoating the issue. I mean, he seriously repents. I wish I had the ability to repent as rapidly as he does. He gets after me sometimes because I don't quite surrender quite so rapidly. But I just wanted to share that when he says he repents rapidly, he really does.
So, you know, thank you for that, Judith. Anyway, where I was going with all of that is, we really, well, first of all, let me back up and kind of clarify what repentance means. Repentance does not mean just saying, I'm sorry, and do it again. I'm sorry, I'll do it again. No, true repentance is a turning away from your sin. I mean, God describes repentance multiple ways. He describes repentance in Ezekiel 18. And let me go here and let me see where I was at here. Basically, in Ezekiel 18, God Himself says to Ezekiel that if the sinner will turn from his ways, turn from his evil, follow my commands, my commandments. Follow my law. Do righteousness amongst everybody. That's repentance. It's not just saying I'm sorry while still, you know, taking advantage of your brother with usury, you know, forcing them to pay outrageous, ridiculous interest rates, but to let them repay and you know, then give them back whatever it is they gave you for collateral or whatever. But, no, we're not supposed to take advantage of anybody. We are not supposed to lie, to steal, to cheat, to covet. You know, these are the basic commandments. And, you know, above all, we should have no other God but God. We should not worship idols. And, you know, the idols can take many different forms. For some people, it may be sports. They spend more time following the latest baseball or football or basketball team. And they know all the stats and scores and players' histories and all of that nonsense, more than they know the Bible and the Word of God. Other people will, you know, they put money as their idol. That is their God. They worship money and all the things that money will buy them. Well, personally, Judith and I don't. We're comfortable. We're not rich people, but we are comfortable. The Lord has been very good to us. In the past year, he has blessed us very mightily. And he's done so for one reason and one reason only. When we have gone before the Lord and said, Lord, what would you have us do? And he tells us, if there's agreement between the two of us, we do it. And we obey what the Lord says. And, you know, well, there hasn't been any disagreement on that respect. Maybe on the methods, but on the end result, no, there's been complete agreement.
I'd like to just add one thing here. Robert and I operate on the premise in our marriage that if we don't agree on something, then we don't do it. We don't move forward if we both are not 100% on board. And it's really been, you know, I'm just throwing that out there, and my dad used to say, you know, my advice is worth what you're paying for it. But in this case, I would say that is a marriage saver. If two people can say, we are going to agree on one thing, that if we don't agree, we don't move forward. That way, you know, everybody stays happy. I mean, one may be disappointed if they want to move forward, but if you come to that agreement and say, this is how we're going to operate in our marriage, then I think in our case, it's been we are less apt to want to demand our own way because we know that we have this agreement, this covenant, that if we don't agree, we don't move forward. And one of the things that I'll vouch for Robert on, he is extremely careful with my feelings and everyone's feelings. He's very, very kind. And so I try to go out of my way to make sure if he has something he's interested in doing and I don't quite agree with it, finding a way that we can come to an agreement. I just wanted to throw that in.
Well, that's the long way of saying, be ye not equally yoked. Not unequally yoked, excuse me. It helps to quote Scripture correctly. Anyway, that is having an equally yoked helpmate, an equally yoked partner, is really what it's all about. And we are here, and as Judith says, we have been blessed by being that way and doing that. So, you know, I would encourage those of you who are married, definitely get into that place, get to that place where you and your spouse, you know, husband or wife, can be equally yoked and operate as one in unison and in agreement. Because you will find that when you get there, the blessings and benefits that God literally throws out like a radio broadcasting, if you get to that point of being obedient as one, well, it's you haven't just increased your reception of God's blessing by two. It's actually greater than that. It's like two squared or two cubed. So, you know, you've increased your reception area by 4 or 16. I don't know what the exact ratio is, but I do know that working as two, the blessings are multiplied. So it's really incredible to watch. And it's really incredible to live it, to see it, to be on the receiving end of God's blessings. When everything in the world looks like, you know, the world says, oh, that's not going to happen, you can't do that, and the enemy tries to discourage you and distract you, guess what? You stand on the promises of God, and if you're doing it in unison like we've been doing all along, well, who cares what the world says? God's bigger. God created the world, the universe, and everything within it. Guess what? He can do whatever he wants. And one thing I've learned, and that is, do not put God in a box. Do not say, well, God can do this, but not that. That's called unbelief. And as soon as you have the unbelief, as soon as you start putting God in a box and limiting what you believe God can do, you've just shut off the power of God. But something else that Judith has touched on that I want to touch on here too is there is, where was I going? I forget where I was going with that. I got distracted with some noise in the background. But can you remind me where I was, Judith? Something I had touched on. I know. I'm just... Okay, well, regardless. Oh, I know what it was. Thank you. Something Judith had touched on is, and I'm a very firm believer of this, for every decision we need to make, from the smallest to the largest, life-changing, we need to take that to God. We need to take it before the cross and say, Lord, which way do you want me to go? And sometimes, you know, we don't, because of circumstances or our own sin or whatever, we're not hearing God very well. So sometimes we have to, you know, plead and ask him, well, Lord, lead me by circumstance. Be careful praying for that. And I say that because if you ask the Lord to lead you by circumstance, you may get drugged through the knot hole a few dozen times. And that's not always a pleasant situation to be pulled through the eye of the needle, as it were. And other times, you see a situation and it's like, okay, I see one of two or maybe three outcomes from this situation or, you know, this thing, whatever. I think it's you, Lord, but I'm going to lay a fleece before you. If you want me to go direction A, then do, you know, I ask that you would show me by method one. If you want me to go direction B, then show me by some sign two, and so forth. And if you do so humbly and you do so expecting to get an answer, guess what? God will answer. And he will lead you in the direction he wants you to go. Sometimes very pleasantly through circumstances, sometimes unpleasantly through circumstances. But being led by God, taking our problems, our cares, our decisions, and throwing it all at the foot of the cross every day, sometimes all day, we will get answers. And, you know, this really brings up the topic I wanted to close out on, or the parable I wanted to close out on, and that is I wanted to bring up the parable of the 10 virgins. So let's flip over to Matthew 25, verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourself. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. See, we want to be the wise virgins, so to speak. We want to have not just our lamps running, but enough spare oil to keep running, even in the darkest of night. Now, I believe that, personally, just looking at the news, seeing what's going on in the world around us, I personally believe that we are rapidly approaching the midnight hour. You know, we are, at the very least, in the twilight, prophetically speaking. We are, as a nation at least, coming into the night of judgment, where things are going to get very dark, and we need to have the oil of the Holy Spirit, within us so we can shine brightly during the darkness that's falling around us and upon us. And we fill ourselves with the oil of the Holy Spirit. We shine brighter by operating more in faith, by going, you know, like I said earlier, by taking our decisions, our cares, our worries, our problems, our sins, our shortcomings, whatever, and just throwing it all at the foot of the cross by taking it to Jesus and saying, Lord Jesus, help me. What am I supposed to do? What can I do in this circumstance? How can I rid myself of this problem that keeps coming on and on and on, or keeps coming back and coming back and coming back? How can I truly repent and turn from those ways? And I'm here to tell you from personal experience, you start praying that way and God will show you what it takes to get yourself cleaned up, to finally repent of some of those deep-seated sins. Like I said, sometimes those sins come out on their own. The demons attached to the sins that cause you to repeat them, sometimes they come out through fasting and prayer. Sometimes they come out through staying in the Word of God. But many times they come through deliverance and the casting out of demons. And, you know, sometimes you have the demons cast out and they come back. Well, don't worry. Just go back for more deliverance. It's not as I see it and as I have witnessed it, both firsthand and secondhand, there are times when you may cast a certain demon out that's controlling a certain action that you keep doing and repeating, only to have it come back because there's another demon that keeps drawing it back, a stronger demon, or a strong man, if you will. Sometimes there's a gatekeeper that keeps opening and keeping the windows and doors to your body and soul that is keeping the door open. And, you know, we just need to continue seeking deliverance, continue seeking God to purify us, to make us better, to make us more righteous and walk in faith more and more and more. And it's an evolutionary, if you will, process. It's not all one way or all the other, but it is it's a process. It's a process that you have to go through sometimes many, many times before you see any significant change. Other times you may have, you know, change that you see immediately. And I'm here to witness firsthand that you can see things, you know, very rapidly sometimes, and other times it takes a while on our own and outside help to rid ourselves of the problem areas. Judith wants to say something, so I'll turn it back over to her.
One thing I'd like to throw in just briefly, sometimes, and I know I saw it in the chat room, sometimes people get frustrated because they repent, and they just can't quite get there. And I think when we do the mass deliverance time or we pray for people, I'd like to pray this, that sometimes even though we know the Word of God says, you know, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he would have died for us if we were the only one. I don't think that's a scripture, but I think the scriptures allude to that he died for us for iniquity. The thing that some people don't understand with their heart, they get it in their head, but not with their heart. And that is a revelation of that unconditional love the Lord has for us. They hear it taught in a lot of denominations. It's pretty basic. It's teaching. They teach it every Sunday. Jesus loves you. We hear it all the time. It's in the Bible. Jesus loves you. But until we have a revelation of what that means, unconditional love, sometimes it makes it difficult for us to take that step and say, not only do I repent, but I will never go back and do that again. Just like when we got saved, for most of us, I would say for all of us who are truly born again, that hour that we surrendered to the Lord, it was serious, we meant it, and we didn't go back to the world. That's what happened with me. When I got saved, that was it. I immediately quit everything and ran after Jesus. But then later on, I found myself struggling. There were little foxes spoiling the vine. And I just didn't quite get it about the revelation of his love for us. And that, when you come to understand that he really loves you, that person, you can put your name in there. That I mean, I don't care if you've known the Lord 2 minutes or 20 years. I know many people who've known the Lord longer than 20 years, and they have no understanding of what that means of God's unconditional love for us. And we can pray that the Lord reveals to you, that he gives you a revelation of what that means of his love for you. That was it, Robert.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Judith. And really, I think at this point that it's about time to take a short break. So bear with us just a few more minutes. We'll take about a 5-minute break or so. And when we come back, we'll start praying. So we'll be back in just a few minutes.
I will have faith, Jesus is with me. I'm never alone, 24 hours a day. No matter what comes, I will not run, I will take courage and conquer every worry in my life that I face. My enemy lies, telling me I'm not gonna that I'm weak and I'm gonna fall. God is my shield and I know he'll never forsake me. For faithful is the Lord of my salvation who calls. Nothing can separate me from the love I find in Christ. I am secure standing firmly in history, then it is mine. Thanks be to God who always leads me into his triumph, and I'm more than a conqueror. In the Lord I'm a conqueror. I'm wearing a smile, I am God's child, born of the Spirit, hidden in Christ, living in heaven above. No demon of hell, Satan himself, cannot get near me. I'm resting in the grace of God that keeps me in his love. Nothing can separate me from the love I find in Christ. I am secure in Jesus, standing firmly in his strength, and it is mine. God who always leads me into his triumph, and I'm more than a conqueror. In the Lord I'm a conqueror. Always leads me into his triumph, and I'm more than a conqueror. In the Lord I'm a conqueror. Yes, I'm more than a conqueror. In the Lord I'm a conqueror.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. What I'd like to do is again, I'd just like to say and ask you all to support the Kyle Ministry of the Oasis Place. You can go to theoasisplace.org, which is their website. They're located in Billings, Montana. So if you're ever out that way on Sundays, feel free to stop by for their wonderful services. I can't personally vouch for them since I've never been out there when they've been ministering. But I just know from listening to them on the air over the years that I would love to go there, and Lord willing, I will.
Go. And being ministered to them ourselves over the phone. So we'll vouch for them. How's that? Also, I'd like to mention their books. Pastor Kyle's book, Do You Have Demon Trouble? Or I may not be quoting the title right. Hold on. I have the book right here. Do You Have Demon Troubles? The Spiritual Warrior's Guide to Winning, and Sister Kyle's book, Running High with God. Those are both at theoasisplace.org on their store page.
That is correct. So I would encourage everyone to go out there as you see fit. So with that, let's go ahead and touch upon what I was talking about a few minutes ago, and that is, before we can really progress very far, actually at all, with God, is we need to be saved and born again. And what that means is, in the Scripture, it says, if you say with your mouth, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you believe in your heart that he was risen from the dead for our sins, then ye are saved. That's called operating in faith. When you believe something in your heart, that is faith. Whether it's for good or ill, that's still faith. And that's why we really want to speak only positive and think only positive as we go about our walk in faith. So anyway, let's go ahead, and for anybody who's listening live now or would be listening later from download, go ahead and follow along with me if you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Father God, in the name of Jesus, your holy and beloved only begotten Son, I come before you as a dirty sinner. I believe, Lord, that your Son Jesus died for my sin on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. I ask you, Lord, I ask you, God, that you would send your Son down into my heart to be my personal Lord and Savior, that I might know and see you. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord, and we thank you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and start with a little bit of mass deliverance. Now that we have the salvation out of the way, let's go ahead and we'll get started with some of the more common demons that a lot of people, myself included, either do or have been bothered with at one point in their walk or another. I think it would really be beneficial for those listening. And yes, Janet, I see that it seems to be a never-ending cycle of getting rid of the demons. That sometimes is correct, but there is an end in sight. We need to believe that in our heart and almost see it as we go about getting deliverance and repentance from what's causing them to come in. So with that, let's go ahead and get started. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you and give you all the honor and praise and glory. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here with you today. We thank you for your Spirit being amongst us. For where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of us. And it's through your power, Lord Jesus, that we would cast out any of these demons. We've already asked you, Father, to forgive us of our sins that would bring these evil spirits into us, that would attach themselves to our mind, our emotions, and our bodies. And we just ask you and release your power and glory, Lord, that you would just deliver us of these spirits. In Jesus' holy name. Now, for those of you who have never been through deliverance before, the deliverance, the casting out of demons, the demons will leave in various ways, sometimes through a yawn, sometimes through coughing, belching, any bodily function, whether it's tearing up of the eyes or feeling flushed in your skin, like I said, belching, or sometimes you'll get violently ill. So with that in mind, let's just go ahead and get started here. Some of the more common that I have come across in my limited exposure actually come through witchcraft. So in the name of Jesus, we just break all witchcraft. We come against all psychic prayers, soulish prayers, evil thoughts, evil words, all words that are not of you, Lord God. And we break those hexes, those vexes, all that voodoo, hoodoo. We break that witchcraft and those evil thoughts and prayers in the name of Jesus, and we cast them back to their originators in Jesus' name. Now, we come against all those spirits that were brought in through witchcraft, all divination spirits. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus, and we cast you out. All false gods and idols, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. All murder, we rebuke you in Jesus' name and cast you out. Come on, all murder spirits, up and out, 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 out. All occult spirits, you are bound in the name of Jesus, and we cast you forth. Come on, out, 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 out. All occult spirits, Easter, come on, up and out, 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 out. The worshiping of Ishtar, the dipping of all idol worship, we just cast you out in the name of Jesus. All Eastern star, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus and cast you out. All Masonic spirits, we cast you out. We bind and rebuke you in the name of Jesus. We break all curses coming down through the generational lines in Jesus' name. We cast you out in Jesus' name. All pornography, all adultery, we bind and rebuke you in Jesus' name. So come on out of there.
All abortion spirits.
Come on, abortion spirits. We bind and rebuke you. Come on out in Jesus' name. All murder, all abortion. Come on out. Out, 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 out. By the blood of Jesus, you have to come out.
Bitterness and unforgiveness.
We bind and rebuke you, bitterness and unforgiveness. Come on, up and out. We have repented of bitterness. We have repented of all our sins.
Fear, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Fear, doubt, and unbelief.
We bind and rebuke you, fear, doubt, and unbelief. Come on out. All fear. Fear of what's coming. Fear of man. Fear of the government. We bind and rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Come on, go. In the name of Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just cover everyone listening with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Deception.
All deception. Oh, yes, deception. You are everywhere in every format, in every form. We bind and rebuke you, deception. We silence you in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on out, deception. All of you. All deceptive spirits. Out, 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 out. All religious spirits. We bind and rebuke you in Jesus' name.
Leviathan.
All Islamic spirits, we rebuke you in Jesus' name. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, you are rebuked and bound in Jesus' name. Those of that have family members that are Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, Catholics, or possibly Muslims, Muslim neighbors, they would try to bring a curse and their demons upon you. We rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke all positional demons in the name of Jesus. Everything that is not of you, Lord God, we bind and rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ. We do not succumb. We do not agree with the spirits of Islam, of apostasy, of Mormonism, of Catholicism, of any of these ungodly, cultish religions. We do not agree with them. We bind you, we rebuke you, we silence you, we cast you out in the name of Jesus Christ. All curses that you have brought with you, we rebuke and break in the name of Jesus, and we send all of those back to their originator in Jesus' name. Leviathan, all pride, pride of self, pride of others, pride of achievements, pride of possessions and belongings. We bind and rebuke you. We cast you out of us now in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, keep coming out. All pride spirits, we rebuke you. You have been bound until the day of judgment. We cast you out now in the name of Jesus. Keep coming out. Out, 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 out. Come on. We break all curses that would come from our family members, from our friends, our neighbors, our workmates. We break those curses now off of us in the name of Jesus Christ.
If anyone would like to call in, the number is 657-383-0134, and we will be happy to take calls and pray with you. I see someone in the chat room is asking for prayer for their family from curses of an unsaved brother-in-law stealing their inheritance. I just break that theft. I just say that you can no longer steal from this family in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord. All theft that is, well, theft is not of you, Lord. That is, you are righteousness, and theft is not righteous. So we know that theft and stealing is not of you. So we just break that now in the name of Jesus Christ and the curses that come with it, the curse of positive, poverty that would come with it and lack. We break that in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind those spirits that would come in Jesus' name. Now, keep coming out. I'm going to go back to pride, since that seems to be a problem for a lot of us, and I'm no exception. So pride, in the name of Jesus, we bind you. We cast you out of everyone that would listen in Jesus' name. Keep coming out. All pride of self, all pride of looks, pride of possessions, belongings, pride of work, pride of your sports team, which is also a false idol. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We rebuke you in Jesus' name now. Keep coming out. All of you, keep coming out. All pride spirits, all Leviathan. I silence you, Leviathan. You're not bigger than Jesus. The Lord Jesus rebuke thee. Now keep coming out of these people now in Jesus' name. Come on, Leviathan, keep coming out. All pride spirits, keep coming.
In the name of Jesus.
All religious spirits, you can keep coming too. Yeah, do you just march behind Leviathan and pride? Keep coming out. Out, 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 out. All of you, keep coming out in the name of Jesus. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we just cover everyone listening with the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. These demons cannot come back and harm them in Jesus' name, not in their soul anyway.
Suicide. I come against the spirit of suicide. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I apply the precious blood of Jesus Christ over anyone who would have thoughts of suicide. Lord, I lift this person to you, this person that's been on my heart all day. You've spoken to me earlier that someone either is listening now or will be listening who has seriously contemplated that just putting an end to it all. And I would say unto you, do not do that. You do not want to do that. You can call us tonight. We'll pray with you. You can call anytime to this show or go to theoasisplace.org and contact Pastor Kyle. Do you have an email address for them?
Yes, you can contact them at theoasis1@localnet.com. They would be more than happy to minister to you.
Father, I ask you please to give this soul, this person who is so distraught that they'd have these thoughts, to give them a revelation of your divine holy love for them. And I rebuke and bind any demons of suicide in the name of Jesus Christ. You are a lying spirit. I command you, that's it. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not hurt God's people anymore. Out, 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 Jesus Christ. Holy.
All spirits of suicide, self-harm, self-destruction, we bind and silence you in the name of Jesus Christ. You are bound and rebuked, God's people. Now leave them. Leave them now. Never to return in Jesus' name. We cast you out. You can follow your brothers and sisters up there already leaving. Come on, keep going. Keep coming out. Out, 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 out. In Jesus' name, keep coming out. We come against all spirits of infirmity, Lord, all spirits that would cause pain in the extremities, in the back, in the cavities of the body, Lord. We just bind and rebuke all infirmity. We cast it out of our people, our brothers and sisters, wherever they may be, whenever they may be listening, Lord. We bind, rebuke, and cast them out of us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just would fill everyone who has had their spirits cast out of them, that you would fill them with the light, the lightness of your Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ.
I hear this person saying, but you don't understand how bad my circumstance is. You don't know what it's like to be without money, without income, to not be able to pay your bills, and to be facing the worst possible financial circumstance anyone could face. I may not understand your circumstance, but I understand the power of God. I understand the power of his promises, the power of his promises that say you'll eat the riches of the Gentiles and in their glory you'll boast yourself. The rest of that scripture, Isaiah 61, verse 6, says you'll be named priests of the Lord. Men will call you ministers of our God. You will eat the riches of the Gentiles and in their glory you'll boast yourselves. I understand about healing, that there's a promise in the Word of God that by his stripes you are healed. These promises are set in the Word of God. They are more true than the than the dictates that the doctors are giving you, than the words that the doctors are saying, than the words that your banker may be saying. God's promises are true, and they're for you tonight. All you have to do is seek them out, and all you have to do is declare them to whoever is listening, whether it's demons or the Lord or your own feared out unbelief. Declare those promises. You will live, and you will prosper. In Jesus Christ's holy name.
Amen. We stand in agreement. And we just come against all spirits of lack, of want, of being poor, broke, never having enough. We come against the curse of the purse with holes that never seems to hold any money. We break that curse in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just remit any sins of the listeners that they have not repented of, Lord. We just cover them with the remittance of their sins, of, you know, any theft they may have committed as a child and can't remember that would keep them in poverty and lack. We break any curses, Lord, that would come down through the family lines, and we remit the sins of the forefathers, going back 40 generations on both sides if need be, in the name of Jesus Christ. We just cover these people, Lord, with the blood of your precious son, Jesus.
Father, I lift to you this brother that's in prison, and I ask you to reveal yourself to him, Lord. I come against the demons that helped him to get there in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask you, Lord, to be the fire round about this brother and to be the glory within. I apply the blood of Jesus Christ to this brother, and I silence these lying spirits that have lied to him and that are trying to lie through him. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come against the spirit of insanity in the name of Jesus Christ, and I silence it. And I ask you, Father, to pour out your precious Holy Spirit to bring this man to full repentance in Jesus Christ's holy name.
And furthermore, Lord, we just come against all spirits that were brought in by this brother while he was in prison, while he is in prison. We cover him with your blood, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we just bind, rebuke, and silence all lying spirits that would tell him otherwise, that would lead him astray, lead him to a backslidden state in the name of Jesus. Father, I just pray that you would lead, guide, and show each and every one of our listeners tonight what they need, Father, to progress in their walk with you. I pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct them through circumstance if necessary, that you would answer their prayers, Father, as they lay their personal fleeces before you. We just come against that fear, doubt, that unbelief. Father, I just see that unbelief is very hard in Jesus' name. We just bind that fear and doubt.
I see that we have a call, Robert.
I'm okay. Let me see who that might be.
765.
Yeah, let's.
Did it pick up the call? 765, can you hear us?
I hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh.
Welcome to the show.
Lord.
This is Bob and Judith Jones filling in for Pastor Kyle.
Hey, brother and my sister. Yeah, I was listening on the way home here, and I got home as quick as I can. And I was wondering if I've been here lately. I realize the pattern the enemy has been attacking me with here. And I'm always being hit with lust, with anxiety, and anger. Those top three, mostly. And as soon as I wake up, it usually comes at me. And, you know, I don't look at any pornography. I don't do that. Jesus helped me with that. I was delivered from that. I don't look at pictures. I don't do any of that. Masturbation, I do mess up a couple times, but I've been doing really well here these past couple weeks, actually. And the Lord has really been helping me with that. And it's just that I'm constantly, in my mind, I'm tormented with, I don't know what it is, But I'm tormented and bombarded with lust, anger, anxiety, fear. And I know, you know, I always read scripture now. You know, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And I believe that, and I believe in our Father's word. And I've just been crying out to Him every day. But if you can help me find out what is constant. Yeah, sorry. I live in a family, real quickly, I live in a family in my house. They're trying, but they're not really living the life they need to be living. And I have noticed, I don't know if you guys ever experienced this or if you have ever heard of this, but I see with my eyes sometimes, I see black streaks and orbs. I actually see shadows sometimes.
I'm going to put you on the speakerphone. Robert's phone battery just died. So if you have trouble hearing us, will you let us know? But he won't be able to hear you if I don't put you on speaker.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I understand.
Sorry about that. Could you repeat your name, brother?
Yes, my name is Joshua.
Well, hi, Joshua. Pleased to meet you.
Hello. Pleased to meet you, brother, my sister.
Oh, we're doing well. Thank you. Joshua, as I was praying while my battery was dying, I was reminded of something I have had to go through myself. That is, in my case, there seems to have been a generational curse that was placed upon the males in my family.
Yes.
So with that, I think we'll go ahead and get started. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you. We give you all the honor and glory and power, Lord. And, Father, we take our authority from your Son, Jesus Christ, seated at your right hand, high above the heavenlies.
Yes.
And in Jesus' name, Father, we remit the sins of Josh's forefathers.
Yes.
The sins of adultery, of lust, and infidelity. We remit those sins, Lord, going back 40 generations on both sides if necessary, as far back as we need to go, Lord. And we break the curses that have come down through the generations. We rebuke the spirits that have attached themselves to those curses in Jesus' name. Now, all you lust spirits, you have no place to stay. We've remitted those sins. You have to go in the name of Jesus. So, come on. Out, 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 out. All lust spirits. All looking at women with lustful eyes. All double takes. All double and triple looks. We rebuke you in Jesus' name. We bind you in Jesus' name. And we cast you out of our brother Josh. Now, keep coming out. All lust spirits. Lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh. We cast you out. In Jesus' name, keep coming out, lust. In Jesus' name, keep coming out.
I'm sorry, Josh. You said lust, anxiety, and what else?
Anger. Because excuse me. I was diagnosed with Graves' disease last year, and I've been so tired for a while here, and I get upset because there's some things that I can't do, and I get upset, and the enemy just loves to poke at me with anger and anxiety, too, and lust. It just seems like those three right there, that I see a pattern. That's how, like, I've realized it. And,
well, I'd like to address the issue of anger. I'm not even sure. While we were praying, I kept hearing that the third one, big problem. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for your wisdom, Lord.
Yes, Father.
Josh, I'm going to ask you to, and I think you said you'd already been ministered to on this, but can you just out loud just pray, Lord, please forgive me for my temper.
Lord Jesus, forgive me for my temper.
Lord Josh has repented. He's apologized. But Josh, what I'm hearing is that this is not just an apology. You need to, as an act of your will, say no more. No more fits of anger. You need to take control of this as an act of your will and say, you know, I will rationally sit down and solve my problems without yielding. And again, we're going to pray and we're going to come against this anger, but once we cast this thing out, you need to follow up with keeping that door closed.
Yes.
I really believe this is really an important moment for you, for the rest of your life.
Yes, I got the same that anger is something, if not the strong man, it's a stronger man than the lust and the anxiety.
Well, the issue, I believe, anger can open the door to the lust, which opens the door to the anxiety.
Does that make sense? I know that, real quickly, too, I've been around anger a lot. Even before I was saved, my father has a lot of anger, and it just, I don't like being angry ever since, and the Lord Jesus has become my Lord, my King, into my heart. I always try my best to not get angry.
Well,
and it's just little things, too.
You just explained something then that confirms what I was sensing, and it's you learned that anger from your father. That opened the door to this demon. It's a demon spirit, this anger is.
And it's also a curse.
But you're going to have to take, because when you learn it as a child, it makes it more difficult. But you are going to have to, just like if you were going to discipline yourself to go on a diet and lose a whole bunch of weight, you would have to say, I will not put too much food in my mouth. You're going to have to say, I will not yield to anger.
Anger that's not godly.
And the Lord will have to teach you about that.
Yes. Now, Josh, I want to ask you something. Have you forgiven your dad of anger he has directed towards you?
Yes, in fact, it would be earlier last year when I started my walk, I knew I had to go forgive my parents, especially. That's when I started learning a little bit more and more about the Word. In fact, my father, it was a really awesome blessing moment. It was really hard talking to him as a child, trying to talk to him seriously and stuff like that. But when I was sitting outside in the garage with him, and I asked him for forgiveness of what I've put him through and what I've done. And he came over to me, and he said, he gave me a hug, which rarely happens, and he told me, walk underneath the bridge. So I know he forgave me. And
very
I felt cool. such a release. I felt such a release from that. And
well,
I did
there probably was healing that took place at that moment, and praise the Lord for it. But what you're going to do now is you're going to need to... You don't want to pass that on anymore, that anger. And praise the Lord, you and your father in that moment.
Yeah, so let's go ahead and come against that anger. Mm-hmm. And actually, I pardon the expression, anger's bedmate anxiety, because they tend to run together like siblings. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, on behalf of our brother Joshua, we just come against anger and anxiety in all their forms and formats. We bind and rebuke them in the name of Jesus Christ, and we cast them out of our brother Joshua. Come on, anger. You keep coming out. Anger at Father, anger at self. Anger at life situations. We bind and rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Now keep coming out. Oh, that murder spirit, we rebuke you in
Jesus'
name. That anger that burns so hot and deep that you just want to kill, we silence you in Jesus' name. We bind you where you cannot touch our brother.
In
the name of Jesus. He is covered in the blood of Jesus. You have no reason to be there. Your legal ground has been taken away from you. Now, out of there. All anger, all murder, all destructive spirits, come out of him now in the name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, you've got to come out. Keep coming out. Keep coming out, anger. Keep coming out, anxiety.
I see that nest of vipers in his belly. Out in the name of Jesus.
We cut you up in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of lust, out in the name of Jesus.
All lust spirits, you can follow your brothers, anxiety and anger and hatred. Keep coming out.
I apply the blood of Jesus Christ to his belly. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, I see.
Yeah, that's right. You keep coming
out.
All of you spirits, keep coming out. Anger, rage, you keep coming out too.
Out in the name of Jesus.
All you destructive spirits.
Out.
There's a whole bunch of you in there, and I see you. Now, we bind and rebuke you. Now,
out
in the name of Jesus.
Deception, out in the name of Jesus Christ. Anger can bring deceptions. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. Insanity, out in the name of Jesus Christ.
Spiritual blindness, you keep coming out too. We bind and rebuke you. Come on, coming out.
Double-mindedness, out in the name of Jesus Christ.
Keep coming out. All anger, all anxiety, you keep coming out.
I'm not
giving up until you are totally out of him.
Out, anger, in the name of Jesus
Christ.
Come on,
keep coming out. He has forgiven his father. He has repented. He has remitted the sins of his forefathers.
In the name of Jesus.
So you keep coming out. You've got no ground to be there. Keep coming out. Now, by the blood of Jesus, keep coming out, anger. All forms of anger, keep coming out. Out.
Lust,
by the
anxiety,
keep coming out, all
of
you. Anxiety, you can keep coming out too. Anxiety of what's going on. Anxiety of what's coming.
Fear.
All fear. Doubt. Unbelief.
In the name of Jesus.
All of you.
Unbelief, out in the name of Jesus Christ. Get out of here.
Out.
In the name of Jesus. Lust, out in the name of all of the lust out. All of those. All of it out.
That's right. Keep coming out.
Out.
Keep coming out.
Jesus Christ.
By the blood of Jesus. All of you lust spirits, keep coming out.
I cut you out in the name of Jesus Christ. We remove you from his belly in the name of Jesus Christ. Every lust spirit, out. You're a liar. Go. That's right. Out.
I keep hearing. I keep hearing in my mind, no.
Oh, yes.
I can see it. It's coming out.
Yeah.
I could see it doing that.
All of them. They're holding on, but we rebuke you.
You come
fear,
out now.
Fear, doubt,
out,
unbelief,
out. Come on,
anger,
up and out of
rage,
it. Out. Come
murder,
on, let's move it.
Anxiety, all lust spirits.
In the name of Jesus.
Keep coming
Christ.
Out by
out,
the blood
out,
of
out.
Jesus.
In the name
come
of
on.
Jesus.
You will not torment our brother.
You will not. Out. Come on.
Come
keep
on.
Coming
keep
out.
Coming out.
Keep coming out. Out.
Keep
out,
coming out.
Out. Lust. Come on, lust. Out. All the way.
Lust and anxiety.
And
keep coming out.
Come out of his throat.
Father,
come
in the name
of
Jesus,
belly.
We just send warrior angels down to surround
you
our
liar.
Brother Joshua.
Out.
We command those angels, Lord, to cut out these demons.
The blood of Jesus
Scourge
Christ.
Scourge him if necessary.
Cleanses his belly. The blood of Jesus Christ. Apply the blood of Jesus Christ to his belly. Come on up out of his throat,
no,
too. The
that's
blood
right.
Of
keep
Jesus
coming out.
Christ. Out.
All
now.
You lust spirits, keep coming out.
Come
you will not
now.
Harm them. You've been bound.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Angel of
God,
keep driving them out.
Out. All the way out.
All these nasty, foul, vile, lying spirits, keep coming out in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Keep
on.
Coming out.
Out. All the way. Come on.
All the way
out.
Keep coming out. All anger. All rage. Keep coming out. All anxiety spirits, keep coming out by the blood
of Jesus.
All lust spirits, come on, keep coming out.
Out. In the name of Jesus.
By the blood of Jesus, you've got to leave. You've been evicted.
You've been, out.
Keep coming out.
Come on, all the way out.
Keep coming out.
Out.
By the blood of Jesus.
Come on, up and out of there. The blood, we apply the blood of Jesus Christ. I see that one leaving out the back of his neck.
Yes.
Yeah, now all the rest of them have to come out.
That's
out,
right.
out.
Now that roadblock's gone, so the rest of you lust spirits keep coming out.
I hear screaming. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
no, they're not. They're silenced by the blood
they're
of Jesus.
They're coming out. Out. All
keep
the way
coming out.
Come on, let's go.
Come on.
This
keep
is
coming out.
Night. This is Joshua's night. He is free. He is free, and you are gone. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. We are not going to sit here all night and do this battle. You go now. Out, out, out. Up and out of there. Come on, let's go. Let's
all
move.
Anxiety.
Out, out, out.
You just leave him here alone and keep coming out in the name of Jesus.
Every one of you lust spirits, get out of there. All forms of lust out of there. Yeah, you devil, get out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Out, out, out.
Wow, you keep coming out too, anxiety.
Out, out, out.
You keep coming
That's
out.
That's right. Anxiety.
You're a foul, filthy, lying demon.
Anger
we
and
We silence you in the name of Jesus, anxiety. Now keep coming
That's
out.
That's right. And anger and all those lust spirits. I see that whole den of vipers down there. And you're all coming out, not just one. Not just two, all of you come out. Out,
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 out.
In the
name of
Jesus
Christ. Keep coming out in
the name of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ to Joshua and to his belly. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ. He is set free. He is set free. He has forgiven his father. That lust is broken in that family. There is no more curse. In the name of Jesus Christ, we just apply the blood of Jesus Christ, and I silence you, and I say out now. Out, 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 in the name of Jesus Christ.
Come on, Rage. You keep
out,
coming
out,
out.
That's right. There is
Raging. You can release your heart now.
There is a strong man lust in there, and I see you, and you are out of there now. Oh, you liar. I bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. I see that scorpion. You come out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. Out, out, out.
Keep coming
out.
Out.
That's right.
By the
you
blood of Jesus.
Done.
You all keep
out,
coming
out,
out.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
No, you are not staying. Your legal ground's been taken. You've been evicted. Now, out, now, by the blood of Jesus.
How are you doing, Josh?
It feels like something is in my left hand.
In your left hand, whatever it is in his left hand, I break it and I apply the blood of Jesus. That's right. Let go of his left hand right now. Out in the name of Jesus Christ. I know. Silence in the name of Jesus Christ. Whatever your name is, I am ordering you to be silent and to come out. Let go of him.
Joshua, are you left-handed by any chance?
No.
You're not. Okay.
No.
Not a problem. There it is. It's got your left hand. Keep coming out. I believe you're one of the rage and anger family. You keep coming out.
In the name of Jesus.
By the blood
Christ.
Of Jesus. We apply the blood of Jesus to Joshua's hand.
How are we doing, Joshua?
I've been through deliverance before, and I felt my hands. It's always something to do with my hands. They start vibrating or tingling really sharply, and then they start the first time it happened, my hands actually curled up, and I could not move or even I lost all function in my hands. I couldn't move my hands.
Uh-huh.
And
how are you doing tonight?
Sugaring. I'm yawning a lot. And now I'm shivering for some reason. I don't know why, but my mouth is shivering. And
well, with that spirit of death to leave in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I apply the blood of Jesus Christ to Joshua, and I command that demon to leave now. Oh, I'm a blood-washed saint of the living God, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Who are you?
Doesn't matter who you are. We bind and rebuke you in the name of Jesus.
You come on out of there.
Come on, you will leave our brother Joshua alone.
We
you will not shiver in the name of
the
Jesus.
The blood of Jesus Christ.
He is covered in the blood of Jesus.
You are. But Joshua, you do need to really hear my warning about closing the door on the anger. You really need to.
I need help. I know. I need help. Please, Jesus, help me with this. I am not an angry person, but it always comes, and I don't want it. I rebuke it, and I want it gone now.
Well, right now, I silence the anger and the fear and the doubt and the unbelief. You are delivered. You are set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the anger from this moment on, I silence that demon of anger. And I say, you will not hurt my brother anymore. You will not until which time you come out in the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right. You keep coming out anger, all rage, murder, destruction. Bind and rebuke you in the name of
Apply
Jesus
Christ. Apply the blood of Jesus Christ to Joshua's belly.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we just call forth the healing balm of Gilead to be poured upon in and through our brother Joshua. Heal him, Lord, where the demons have tried to rip and scratch and tear asunder.
I apply the blood of Jesus Christ to his hands. Whatever this thing is that's trying to cripple up his hands, this anger, I apply the blood of Jesus Christ. Anger, come out of him. Come out. All the way out. Out, out, out.
Coming out, anger.
All the way out, anger. Out, out, out. In the name of Jesus Christ.
By the blood of Jesus, you keep coming out, anger.
Out, anger.
Joshua's not an angry man. Joshua is a son of the living God. He is filled with love and patience and long-suffering, not anger and impatience and anxiety.
Out, out, out.
Joshua was not given a spirit of fear and anger.
I heard, I've been here a long time. Did you hear that? I just heard that. I've been here a long time.
Well, you're not here anymore. You're coming out. Anger, come out.
Your legal grounds have been broken.
Out, 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 in the name of Jesus Christ. I apply the blood of Jesus Christ. I command you to be silent. I don't care how long you've been there. You're gone now.
That's
your hold is broken. Your tentacles are broken by the blood of Jesus Christ. You will leave him now. Out, out, out.
You're not back-sassing us.
Out, out, out.
We are covered in the blood of Jesus. Anger, you keep coming out.
In the name of Jesus,
you've got no
Christ.
Right to be there. You're being evicted.
Out, out, out. In the name
Father,
of
in the name
Jesus
of Jesus,
Christ.
We call your warrior angels down to surround Joshua and drive this spirit of anger out.
In the name of
Bind
Jesus
his mouth,
Christ.
Lord, with fetters of iron dipped in the blood of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
We strip it of all
armor.
We break its claws and smash its jaws in the name of Jesus. Now keep coming out, anger. Come on, keep coming out. And you can bring your buddy anxiety with you. Keep coming out now by the blood of Jesus.
Are you trying to say something, Josh?
What?
I'm sorry, were you trying to say something? Out, out, out.
Are you doing all right, Josh?
Yeah, I keep yawning really, really, like, big. I feel like my jaw is, like, almost going to fall out. I yawn too big.
I understand that. I've been there and done that.
Well, let's give it a few more minutes. But you may find that throughout the evening you continue, this thing will come out. I really have a strong sense. Yeah, anger, come on out of there.
Judith, I see anger coming out. He's being a little bit stubborn. And he's going to leave a hole where he was at. And I would highly, highly, highly recommend, almost require, that throughout the course of the evening, you do your best to spend the evening in the Word of God.
It just said something again. Oh, my goodness.
What did it say?
I'm not going anywhere.
You're leaving now. And now I command you, I've already told you, silence in the name of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses Joshua from all sin. Out now. Come on, up and out of there. Out, out, out. You're coming out now. You're not coming out tonight. You're not coming out tomorrow. I order you out now in the name of Jesus Christ. I apply the blood of Jesus Christ. I silence you in the name of Jesus Christ. And I say, anger, out, 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 now, out. Come on, up and out, up and out of there, up and out of there. We're not messing around anymore. Out now in the name of Jesus Christ. Out, out, out. Come on, all the way out. Open your mouth, Joshua. I want you to just blow that thing out of there. Come on, up and out of there. Let go of his throat. Let go of his hands. Anger, go. You are a liar. We are under the blood of Jesus Christ. We are blood washed saints of the living God. Out of there now. Go. Out,
anger,
out, out.
Keep coming out.
Out, out,
Lord
out.
Lord Jesus, rebuke anger. Keep coming out. That's right. Coming.
What are you saying, Josh?
My hands are tingling again. My right hand is tingling.
Repeat that?
My hand, my right hand is tingling. My throat is tingling. I don't know what's going on with my hand.
That's a good thing because it's leaving.
Come on out of there, anger. Out, right now. Come on, hurry up. Out of there.
Anger, anxiety, rage, murder.
Out
of there now in the name of Jesus Christ.
We're not going to torment our brother anymore. Out of there in the name. You are a liar. Silence. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Keep coming out, anger.
The blood of
Keep
Jesus Christ.
Of
he
Jesus.
Is cleansed
Keep
by the
out.
Blood of Jesus Christ. He's
out.
Washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. His hands are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. His throat is covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. His entire body. You leave now. We order you out in the name of Christ. Out. Come on out of there. Hurry up now. Go. Out. In the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right, anger. Rage. Anxiety, you keep coming out. You've been bound and redeemed by the Lord Jesus. Our brother's covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. He's filled with the blood of Jesus.
Our sister says in the
keep
chat
coming
room,
out.
Our sister in the chat room, she's confirming what I've been hearing. She says, I hear them coming out. I've been sensing them leaving you.
Oh, well, have I. We've got one, and I don't know its name, that keeps holding on. He thinks he's got a legal ground, but you know what?
There's no legal ground.
There is no legal ground.
No, these demons have done nothing but lie to you, Joshua. They are gone now. They have no legal ground. They're out.
Yep, they've been evicted. Yes. Yep, don't listen to them.
But you know,
by the blood of Jesus,
looking
he's coming
at the
out.
Clock here, I think we're just about out of time.
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree. We are just about out of time here, folks. Boy, what a short 2 hours that's been. Anyway, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just seal this delivery and command from our brother Josh to keep coming out. And from all the spirits we have cast out earlier in the show, we just command them to keep leaving our brothers and sisters.
Throughout
the night, Lord. We thank you. We give you all the honor and glory, Lord Jesus. Well, yeah, I ask you, Lord, that you would fill each and every one of the listeners with your light, to place your very light and easy burden upon each and every one of us. I ask you, Lord, that you would tell each and every one of us what you would have us do.
Yes, Lord.
Every day, Lord, as we seek you out in our quiet time, just tell us what you have us do in the name of God.
Did you want to say something, Josh?
I heard I'm leaving.
Yes.
I heard
that's
I'm
right.
leaving,
you
I'm
are.
Leaving,
never
I'm leaving.
Return.
Yes,
in the name,
in the
of,
name
Jesus.
Of Jesus Christ, it is leaving. But I want to thank everyone for bearing with us tonight, even through some of our technical difficulties. You know, I've really enjoyed this, and I know that Robert has as well. And, you know, I'd like to ask everyone to join me real quickly to pray for a safe return and a prosperous traveling for Pastor Kyle and sister. Like to pray for their safe return and cover them in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Well, thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the time that we have had together tonight in your presence.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you for the deliverance we've witnessed this evening, Lord, and we thank you for continuing it until everyone who listens has been delivered.
Yes,
Father, we thank you for the Kyles.
Yes.
And ask that you would bless them beyond all measure, and that you would see them safely home in the name of Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
And we give you all the honor and glory and thanks, Lord, for this evening in the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ. And we just thank everyone who joined us.
all the Father's given us. Lord, you're our Father. We lift our hands unto the sky in sweet anticipation now, calling you from earth below, singing, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, don't delay. Return and steal your bride away. Our hearts are burning with desire. Anticipation now, calling you from earth below, singing, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, don't delay, return and steal your bride.